part two of TYT. Same panel, completely different stories, and it's going to be awesome. So later on, we are going to get to the story that you've probably already seen and everyone's talking about, but we might have some interesting things to say. The music festival for rich people that went horribly, horribly wrong. Not even necessarily for rich people, but...
It was expensive.
It was expensive.
Yeah, but I look forward to that because it's tough to feel bad for rich people.
I disagree. I mean, look, in this case, I disagree. But we'll get to that debate later on in the show.
I'll tell you who I feel bad for. Melania.
She's
a rich person I feel bad for.
Don't feel bad for her.
I do a little.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Didn't expect that.
All right.
Didn't expect for it to be taken so seriously.
But before we get to...
I'm being facetious.
Yeah. Before we get to all that, though, there are a few more... serious stories that I want to do. So let's get to that. The House in Texas has essentially passed a bill that will now head to the Senate regarding immigration and what they plan on doing when it comes to supporting federal agents in regard to deporting undocumented immigrants. Now, the legislation that I'm about to talk about is very similar to Arizona's SB 1070, which was in part struck down by the Supreme Court and did cost Arizona a considerable amount of money. $1 million public opinion backlash, major businesses pulled out of events in the state. It was a complete and utter disaster for Arizona. And so Texas is looking at it and thinking, maybe we should try the same thing. So let's get to the details of this legislation. The Texas State House has passed SB 4, an anti-immigrant piece of legislation that would crack down on so-called sanctuary jurisdictions and penalize local law enforcement agents who don't turn over suspected undocumented immigrants to federal authorities. It includes a controversial amendment authorizing local law enforcement agents to ask about the immigration status of people they detain during arrests. The bill also makes it a Class A misdemeanor, punishable by $1,000 fine or prison for up to 1 year for the first offense for law enforcement officials to not honor federal detainer requests. So this is essentially the polar opposite, the antithesis of what California is attempting to do as a sanctuary state for undocumented immigrants. They are trying to get law enforcement officials to not cooperate with federal agents or ICE officials in Texas. They want cops to cooperate with them or else they could be punished. And so this whole show me your papers thing in Arizona, again, was a nightmare and it was challenged in the courts. And apparently Texas does want to do the same thing.
This is these stories embarrass me. They embarrass me as an American, like that I didn't imagine that we were going to ask people for papers here, you know, but law passed in Arizona. The Supreme Court mercifully struck it down. My hunch is this current Supreme Court would not strike it down.
Exactly.
Again, another repercussion of the election. I know they were just the same, Hillary and Donald Trump, but there's a example that perhaps they weren't. And Texas will follow suit. And my hunch is the Supreme Court, if they decide, you know, one of the things about Gorsuch was his respect for precedent.
So, right.
And the Supreme Court has generally been unwilling to undo a law that it just did. So that'll be an interesting test when and if this gets to the Supreme Court. Of course, it's just like they just ruled on this a few years ago and is among those saying, let's not take this case. And they let the ruling in the Arizona law stand. I bet they don't, just because that's not, we just can't. We're not winning a lot of fights on this level, and my hunch is we won't win this one. I'm also reminded of just how horrific a job the Democratic Party has done across states.
Yeah.
This is Texas, but allegedly Texas is turning more blue, but we're in a situation where you lose 93-54 in the Texas House on this bill. Democrats have lost state house after state house after state house and governorship after governorship, you know. And so the result is this. While we're sort of focusing on, hey, look, Obama got reelected, we're getting our ass kicked at the local level again and again and again and again.
And even though this just passed in the House, it is very likely to pass in the Senate. In fact, the Senate drafted the initial legislation, and then the House changed a few things, and now it'll go back to the Senate for them to vote on it. And of course, the governor of Texas is expected to sign it into law. But there are some state lawmakers that did what they could to fight the passage of this legislation in the House, the state House. Representative Mary Gonzalez spoke about one of the huge downsides of this type of law. And she says, hey, you know, a lot of people who are victims of crimes will not come forward and report those crimes to authorities if their immigration status is in jeopardy or isn't where it should be. And here is her tearful plea for her colleagues to vote the right way. She was the victim of sexual assault. Let's take a look.
I became a legislator to make sure that other women and children never have to go through what I went through. I became a legislator to fight for the most vulnerable people. I'm sorry. I would never want to cry in front of y'all. But we aren't trying to exaggerate when we say that the people in the shadows will be in the shadows more. We aren't exaggerating when we say that the people who will be empowered by this piece of, by this amendment will be the criminals.
God bless her. You know, that was, I mean, I couldn't love more the, I don't want to cry in front of y'all.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it's so sweet. She takes, you know, she knows like this is serious. She respects that she's in the Texas state legislature, but whatever, she got moved.
She also reminds us, I mean, of that, the passion and emotion that, you know, that drives someone to public service. I mean,
right.
I really think that's lost in all of it. Also, as we demonize politicians and we kind of look at strategies and all the rest, you forget that many people are motivated to politics and to the legislature in this case out of a sense of public service and wanting to make a difference. And that's what came across. On a practical level, I mean, once you get the law part out of the way, and Ben, I thought, you know, detailed the law part and as well as it's going now to, you know, from House to Senate, et cetera. As a practical matter, how will this have an impact on day-to-day life? It's going
right.
to be horrendous. You're going to see these scenes of tremendous emotional families being ripped apart. You'll see all that video that just makes you cringe. You're going to see tons of it.
I don't know if that even has an impact on people that would be supportive of this type of legislation.
That may
be. And it's because of this, like, you know, we're tribalistic in our ideology, and there's also the lack of empathy. There's this notion that anyone who comes into this country and is undocumented is a criminal, is a bad person. They're here to take our jobs. They're here to cause trouble. Of course, the data does not bear that out whatsoever, but it doesn't matter. I mean, they've showed a lack of empathy so far. There's no reason to believe that video of families being ripped apart is going to convince them that this is not the right way to go about this.
Well, then, economically, you have to look at the state of Texas and across these the state of California, et cetera. But we're talking about Texas and the construction workers who aren't going to be able to show up. Or if they do, we're going to be back to the times when they could be abused with total impunity, right? Because they're scared that somebody's going to call the ICE agents or call the local cops in this case, and they'll call the ICE agents. I think just on a granular level, it's a nightmare.
Yeah, it is. And we'll see how it plays out. But there is a, you know, legitimate concern about something like this getting challenged, going to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court ruling in a different way from, you know, the previous ruling regarding Arizona's
Our best hope is that they don't take it up
because
they just decided that, because we know how they'll rule.
I don't think we know.
We know.
To be honest.
It's where it's headed, and we're not going to. I don't know what that vote was off the top of my head, so I should shut up. So I will.
SB 1070?
Know how the vote went in the Supreme Court on what their, who wrote it, who wrote that opinion on the Supreme Court rule on SB 1070. But one of the interesting, you know, ACLU Arizona, it's like in Mark, to buttress what Mark's saying, the small little ways that it manifested itself in Arizona is that anytime cops pulled somebody over, they took for frickin' ever, right? Mm-hmm. While they figured out your immigration status. And I would argue that any moment past, do you want it for a major felony? No. Is the car stolen? No. Right? You run the plates, that all is quick. That's it. Otherwise, you were being detained illegally, mm-hmm. right? So, but cops used it to take forever and keep somebody in custody, locked up, detained, can't leave on state authority while they investigated it. That's what will happen in Texas. They'll come up with excuses to look because somebody, it says here, the head of the ACLU of Texas says, it's an invitation to racially profile Asians, Latinos, and others who look foreign. It's not Asians. I got it. It's Latinos. That's what they want. 34% of Latino voters voted for Trump, or 66 voted for Clinton, and then the other 34 voted elsewhere. That's still, to me, a staggeringly high number of Latinos.
It is fascinating.
Yeah. And maybe there's some of it, like everybody else. You're like, yeah, well, I'm here. I did it right. Why are you, you don't get to make it. You're making it difficult for me. I came here legally. You didn't, and you're making it hard for me. I guess I understand that. That's tribal.
Lack of empathy and just this inability to put yourself in someone else's shoes. It might have been difficult for them to come here legally, but I guarantee you that it's even more difficult right now for someone to come into the country legally.
Yeah.
So anyway, all right, let's move on to other news. Story that I wanted to cover this week, but I will now. Arkansas carried out its fourth execution in 8 days just last night, Thursday night. And of course, this has been a major news story considering the fact that the state rushed to carry out these executions before the drugs, the lethal injection drugs that they had, would expire. Now, it included the risky sedative known as midazolam. And the reason why it's so controversial is because it's been used in previous executions where people looked as though they were really suffering and going through a lot as they were being executed. And so we have a constitution that includes cruel and unusual punishment is not to be carried out. And if it is cruel and unusual punishment, it goes against that constitution, right? And so even though this raised a lot of questions, Arkansas still moved forward with these executions. They wanted to do 8. They only carried out 4. Now, witness—
It was 8? I thought 6. They wanted 8?
They wanted 8.
Oh, I feel better. All right,
yeah.
Good. I mean—
Yeah, they wanted 8 and they carried out 4 of them. So witness accounts of the execution that just took place, the last one on the schedule in Arkansas, prompted immediate questions after journalists said they saw the inmate lurching and convulsing during the lethal injection. The AP reporter serving as a media witness wrote an account saying that Kenneth Williams, that was the name of the inmate, Williams' body lurched forward 15 times in quick succession, then another 5 times at a slower rate, about 3 minutes into the lethal injection process. This movement, described as lurching, jerking, convulsing, and coughing, lasted for about 20 seconds, and the noise could be heard in the viewing room through the execution chamber's glass window. Donna Terrell, a journalist, said it didn't appear as though he was in pain. His hands were never clenched, but it wasn't what I expected to see in terms of a smooth execution.
Well, you would know, Donna. It didn't appear he was in pain.
Donna's from Fox 16. She's probably seen some executions along the way.
But, and I'm not going to argue. It doesn't seem, we're all guessing. We don't know.
Sure. We don't know, yeah.
He was, they get a sedative, so maybe that's not why he was, I don't know. But I would say that was unusual. Mm-hmm. I think we make that. Body convulsing 15 times, jerking forward. I think the cruel part is the, we're going to kill you soon. Remember, it's a day closer to you being killed. We're going to kill you. We're the United States of America. You thought we were going to save you, but no, we're going to kill you. That's what we do. So I think it meets cruel and unusual. I know when they wrote the Constitution, there was execution, so they obviously didn't mean that execution by itself was cruel and unusual. Mm-hmm. But those guys owned slaves, and they were idiots frequently. They weren't great, perfect men. They were enormously flawed. The countries that execute people is a list of barbaric countries, and we're on that list. Mm-hmm. And we are a barbaric country. We have a lot of great things going for us, but we rank in the mid-20s in most things, sometimes even lower. We have hideous income inequality. We don't educate kids right. They blow at science. They blow at math. They don't like to speak other languages.
We're not winning with languages.
We are not prepared to enter the workforce. We are the biggest warmongers in the world, justified or not. We're the only country to drop atomic weapons. We did it twice. We have killed more civilians than any other country, I'm pretty sure. That's probably not true. Probably Russia and the Soviet Union may have us licked there. But we're up there. And we think it's okay to execute people who are no longer threats to society.
Right.
I mean, that Kenneth Williams probably, committed he was convicted.
He committed three terrible murders.
Three terrible murders, yeah. And we caught him. And we should lock him up without possibility of parole. And that's that. That's the end of that. And it's not super satisfying.
Yeah.
Because he's committed terrible murders.
What's interesting is...
But we can't go executing people because sometimes we kill people who didn't do it.
That's right.
But it's wrong even if they did do it. Even if we could be 100% sure. It is just despicable because there's no nice way to do it. I'd rather his body convulse and jerk because I hate lethal injection. Mm-hmm. Because lethal injection was a way to sanitize what feels barbaric. Lethal injection is the execution method of drones. Like if we're going to go in and bomb other countries and maybe kill civilians, we should take some risk. Mm-hmm. We should feel it rather than pressing a button where we don't have to put anybody at risk. And here, it's a sanitary way. I like the electric chair.
Wow.
Because it should shock you. And it should shock you, and I hope eventually think, hey, we shouldn't do that.
If you want to see convulsing.
Yeah.
So you're saying the horror of it is lost in the sanitized version.
Makes it easier, makes us feel better that it's okay to take another human life. The United States of America, if it's the greatest country in the world, and I think it is, we kick down the door. We watch movies. We kick down the door and say, not so fast. And we rescue guys. We don't execute them. And everybody in Arkansas who participated in this should be ashamed of themselves.
What I found interesting, and just one final thought before we move on, is that there was this rush to execute 8 people before the lethal injection drugs expired. And of course, there's this concern by states that still carry out executions that they might not ever get their hands on these lethal injection drugs again because drug makers are more moral than we are.
They don't want their drugs associated with it.
That's right. They do not want their drugs associated with executions. And so instead of thinking, hey, maybe we should reconsider our policies regarding executions, it was like, we gotta hurry up. And we gotta kill everyone before it's too late.
Why do we feel I would say to those states, you're in no danger. Give the guy a significant sedative, buy some guillotines, and cut off his head. Why not? I'm not kidding. Mm-hmm. Do that. Right. That's executing someone.
I think you're giving way too much credit to some Americans that support executions. You think that they would see barbaric behavior and they would change their minds. I mean, we're talking about the same people who see Syrian children dying as they're trying to come to a safer country, and they'll still say, oh, they're terrorists, they deserve it.
I think that when we cut off the heads of two guys who then we learn, oh, they didn't do it. I think we would change our minds. We're already changing our minds on it. But all these efforts to sanitize it were an effort to avoid cruel and unusual punishment has been a way for us to get comfortable mm-hmm. with execution in a way that we weren't. The great thing about the electric chair and those horrible deaths those guys suffered in Florida was that they made us uncomfortable. They did. It changed minds. The guy's head was on fire. Well, we shouldn't be executing people.
Right.
And then the first jackass who says, oh, well, if I were in prison, I'd want to die anyway. You don't want life. And they could. Well, first of all, how come everybody fights it? How come every one of those prisoners would take life in prison? So that's wrong. But they're not a threat. The battle is over. We got him. We convicted him. I am not soft on crime, man. You rape and murder children. You go to prison for the rest of your life. No possibility of parole. That's it. None. You die in prison alone. But we don't execute people here. But we do.
We do. Yeah.
Good for Arkansas. You know what's true, though? I'm going to correct myself. The people of Arkansas, they're safer now. Safer now that these 4 guys are dead. I'm sure they feel safer. I'm not trying to minimize because the families suffered. But I know that, like, the families want closure. But they'd have closure if they just said, you're convicted, no possibility of parole, it's over. That's the close of it.
The family members of one of the victims that died because of Williams came forward and they said, we don't want any more suffering. We do not want this man to be executed, which I thought was so interesting.
Good for them. Good.
Because in, you know, the vast majority of cases, the family members want revenge.
Sure,
and that is a human instinct. It's an understandable instinct, which is why we are supposed to have a justice system that doesn't rely so heavily on being punitive for seeking revenge, you know, like we focus on that way too much.
And yeah, totally. When Mike Dukakis was arguably lost the 1988 presidential race by being asked by Bernie Shaw what he would do if Kitty Dukakis were raped and murdered, and he was against the death penalty, and Willie Horton, that horrible ad from Lee Atwater, had so influenced the election, and he gave a terrible technocrat answer. And if somebody did something horrible to my wife or child, I would want to kill them slowly and watch them die. And I thought Dukakis should have said that, but then said, but thank God we don't allow the victim's family to mete out punishment. We're a civilized society. I would kill him, but we can't allow that to happen.
By the way, that seemed like such an easy answer. It was odd that it escaped him in that moment.
Yeah, so, and we shouldn't. We don't, I ache for victims. One thing that I have always hated about this is that I end up caring and aching for Kenneth Williams, and he killed three people, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to waste my time on dirtbags like Kenneth Williams. So let him be in prison. That's what we do in a civilized country, except the Soviet Union and former Russia and Iran and Saudi Arabia and the United States, you know, the countries that execute people.
Right.
Well, and as Ben said before, I think, and I thought it was a good phrase, it's not satisfying, but it's the way it should be. When you talk about putting him away forever, it's not satisfying because of that vengeful part of us where you want payback.
Yeah.
But there is no payback for the horrible tragedies that these people have perpetrated.
And
it's not satisfying, but nothing in this process is going to be satisfying.
That's right. All right, moving on to completely different news. I don't want to take a break because I want to make sure we have enough time to talk about this interesting story. There was recently a music festival in the Bahamas that people doled out a ton of money to attend. It was even more expensive than Coachella. Apparently, tickets to this festival, the Fyre Festival, cost between $1,000 and $12,000 and included a flight from Miami and a stay in a geodesic dome. Not the one in Orlando, okay, but apparently a geodesic dome in the Bahamas somewhere as this music festival is supposed to take place. Well, festival goers were distraught because they realized that this was not, you know, a fancy, luxurious getaway with great music. It was actually the complete opposite. Music fans instead found that they would be staying in disaster relief tents, although many of those were only partially constructed. And the catered meals they were promised turned out to be bread, cheese, and salad served in styrofoam containers.
I don't like eating salad from a styrofoam container because your fork punctures the styrofoam.
Exactly, yeah.
There's an example of what their fancy food looks like. So we do have a video that someone had filmed that I want you to play as B-roll as we continue discussing the story. But, I mean, it looked terrible. It looked like the last place you would want to be, the last place you would want to spend $1,000 to $12,000 on.
That's a geodesic dome?
Those are just the tents that people were expected to stay in.
That's for the glamping. They're all supposed to be glamping.
Okay, so we're going to have a debate about whether or not we should feel sorry for the people who went to this festival. I do feel bad for them. They had no access to electricity, no access to anything. And so a lot of them were stranded. They wanted to get back home. They were hungry. They were upset. And their phones were dying and they had no access to
charging. I feel bad for them. The phones are dying.
Even if their phones weren't dying, you should feel bad for them. It doesn't matter if they're wealthy or if they're poor, whatever their socioeconomic status is. They spent a ton of money to go somewhere where they were promised certain things and they got the exact opposite of that, okay?
I have a full range of empathy in my heart. This doesn't knock coal miners out. I can feel bad for both.
Yeah, it's okay. Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
I don't see why they're hungry. Just go out, get another cheese sandwich. dig into that salad.
I think they're rationing it.
Let's hold for a second, and let me just out you a little bit, Ben Mankiewicz, okay? Right. Because Ben Mankiewicz is the guy who, in the early days of TYT, went to a journalist conference thing in Las Vegas. Since it's TYT, they're going to look for the absolute cheapest hotel in Vegas. And so they stayed at Circus Circus, and Ben, you freaked out.
I might. Well, first of all, Circus Circus, I don't mean any disrespect, worse than the glamping in the Bahamas.
The shitty shitty?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I mean, no rational person was going to stay in that Circus Circus. Yeah, and I was like, hey, man, I don't know how poor we are. I mean, you know where I went to stay? I found at Harrah's, right? It's not like I didn't go to the Bellagio, which I'm not even sure existed. I got it. But I said, I sympathize with them. Circus Circus, that was nasty. It was gross.
There was a booger on the wall.
Yeah, there was stuff on the walls. It was like blood and human stuff. I didn't even get my own room. It's like I had to share that with, and then TJ, he was trying to like share. And first of all, I wouldn't stay at, what's the nicest hotel in the
Encore,
I wouldn't stay at a Mandarin Oriental with Cenk.
There you go.
Right? You share a room with Cenk. I'd rather stay at the Circus Circus
He's not
by
even
myself
here to defend than,
share, than share a room with Cenk. But so, yeah, as I went across the street, I think I went to Harrah's. I think it was like, I just remember being like, oh, this is bad. I'm wasting the company's money. I think it was $57.
Oh, it's not expensive.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Yeah. And this is like 2003.
Very economical choice.
Yeah. So, okay, but imagine you spent $12,000 on that room, and that was the only room available to you, and the only food was those cheese sandwiches.
I'd be talking about that experience in 2036.
Yeah,
I'd still be
telling. It's awful.
Did I tell you about when I went glamping in 2016? Yeah, that's what I'd be saying, yeah.
So it's awful, it really is.
It is. Let me give you some more details on it. Festival goers were promised yacht rides, yoga and kayaking, along with performances by about 24 artists. But instead, they spent their time trying to find stolen property and flights home. So they were given lockers without locks, and naturally, stuff got stolen. And so some people had their money stolen. They didn't know how to get back home. Their phones are losing, charge, and they don't know how to communicate or contact people, in the outside world. And so they're screwed and they're upset, and I feel terrible for them. Let me give you some tweets from.
What was the bathroom situation?
There were porta potties. I saw a video where there were some porta potties.
I'm sure those were well maintained.
Let's go to graphic 13. Here is one person tweeting and asking for help. My phone is dying. Please call for me and beg for them to send help. I'm hiding in tent 27. This is a nightmare.
Okay, look at this picture. Like, this is what that guy's used to. Like, that's the vacation that guy's used to taking.
That's why I don't.
He's like in the Alps.
Yeah.
They rented a cottage in the Alps,
My phone is dying. Please send help to festival grounds. It's chaos. Tents are on fire. People fighting for food. No. This is terrible. And guess what? This was put together by Ja Rule, it was put together by Ja Rule and Billy McFarland.
Wait a minute. What does that mean?
I'm just saying. I mean, he could barely sing. Can you really count on him to put a...
Look at that.
Am I being bad?
He's not even here to defend himself.
Am I being bad? Come on, Ja Rule. His singing was terrible.
I don't know who that is.
Okay. I should have known.
I mean, I'm aware that that is a musician.
Going crazy. You guys know that song.
I'm sure that they do. I'm just saying.
Well, he's certainly not known for glamping.
Would you know a Ja Rule song?
Me?
I take all the
sheep. That's not my thing.
The one that goes, where would I be without my baby?
It's a good line. Yeah, I tell you
what. Some of the lines. Where was solid lyric? Where sang those songs?
Where would you
the thought
be without
of this making me go crazy.
Yeah, in the Bahamas looking for a charger.
Hey, your baby's in 1027.
Your baby's in 1027 and he's hungry. Yeah.
Anyway, I'm being unfair to Ja Rule. I apologize.
But I like one of the things you're about to say.
What was I going to say?
Who else promoted it?
Oh, the people that promoted it, which I feel like you're going to defend because you love to defend the Jenners / Kardashians. Kendall Jenner.
It's like 9 years ago.
Bella Hadid.
I thought they were unfairly targeted for scorn because I appreciated that they worked hard. But I'm talking about the first. But now, like, the ship has sailed. It's a whole family of frauds, but I like some more than others. I don't hold them in, but the Kendall seems to me to be particularly insufferable. That's my sense.
I think you're mixing up with Kylie. Kylie is
okay. Which, then Kylie, that could be.
Who was in the Pepsi commercial?
That was Kendall. But I feel like Kendall. Look, that Pepsi commercial was a nightmare, and unfortunately, she was involved in it. But out of those two, Kendall and Kylie, I would say Kendall is the one that tries to keep a low profile. She does her modeling thing, and she's not like, you know, doing crazy stuff all the time.
One of them just had it said, "This is how we do it in Puerto Rico." Like a picture of her, and it was just like a shot of her ass from behind.
That sounds like Kylie. Oh my
but her God. Shadow cast perfectly on the asphalt in front of the pool that she was standing at. So, what's her name? What's the comedian's name? Jenny Johnson?
Oh, right? Yeah.
Yeah,
sure,
she's Jenny very Johnson, funny on Twitter. Yeah. Everybody should follow Jenny Johnson on Twitter. It looked like she had urinated on the asphalt. And so she was like,
This is
how we do it in Puerto Rico. So she was like, oh, so you just be outside? And really, most places we use the toilet inside. But anyway, check out Jenny Johnson's Twitter feed for the exact tweet she said it. But it did. It was really, really well done. Yeah.
Oh my God. That's great. All right. I want to leave you guys with this amazing scientific discovery that I thought was so interesting. Okay. A researcher from Switzerland noticed something fascinating about a particular type of female dragonfly. He realized that these dragonflies try to avoid advances from their male counterparts by playing dead. All right, so let me give you the details on this. The researcher is Rasim Khalifa. He's from the University of Zurich in Switzerland.
You know what his songs are about?
While collecting the larva for these dragonflies, he watched a female crash dive to the ground while being pursued by a male. This is the Moreland Hawker dragonfly, okay? And so there's a reason for this. The female then lay motionless on her back. Her suitor soon flew away, and the female took off once the coast was clear. Apparently, female Moreland hawkers are vulnerable to harassment when they lay their eggs, since unlike other dragonflies, they are not guarded by their male mates. A single sexual encounter with another male is enough to fertilize all eggs, and copulating again could damage their reproductive tract. So they're not just doing this because they're annoyed by the male dragonflies and they don't want to get it in. They're doing this because it's for the benefit of their health.
Yeah, right? The propagation of the species.
God, it's so interesting.
But read the next sentence, though, Anna.
Khalifa found that the females often retreat to dense vegetation near ponds at this time, probably to hide, and they often act dramatically when they emerge.
There you go. I rest my case.
They act dramatically what?
When they emerge. They come out and they're all like, oh.
What are you trying to say,
I don't know. Nothing at all. They lock themselves in the bathroom, and then when they finally come out, they make a big deal out of everything.
Well, you know, if the male dragonflies found a way to, like, romance them a little bit and, you know, maybe take them out on a nice date and not just expect to get whatever they want without putting in any effort, it'd be a little different.
Fair point.
Maybe they would risk their reproductive tract.
I'm not getting in the middle of this. No.
Yeah. So I love stories like this. And by the way, there are other, you know, animals or species that do something similar. A species of spider, the male uses it to improve the chances of mating. Two species of robber fly and a type of mantis. So this has been seen with other insects as well. And
how about the conversation that male dragonfly had with his friends afterwards, you know? Like, hey, man, I saw you going after Cindy, man. How'd that go?
You know? Well, you know, I moved in on her like a bitch.
Yeah, totally. That's right. And he'd be like, no, man, Cindy, she flew into the ground, man. She died. And the guy's like, I just saw her.
Rudy. Yeah.
She's faking it? Yeah, that's right.
Right. Your girl is over there with
She's
Rudy.
She's not dead, dude.
Damn. Draws. All right. So we leave you with that fun story. Mark Thompson, Ben Mankiewicz, thank you so much for joining us today. Jenk should be back next week. I will be gone. I will be at a conference in New Orleans called Collision. And it'll be great. We're going to do a...
Speaking of Harrah's, good Harrah's Casino in New Orleans.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You going to a week-long conference in New Orleans?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's not a bad deal.
That's pretty good.
I'll be back next Friday, but I'm excited just because the panels are going to be great. We're going to do one panel on environmental issues, another panel on fake news and what we can do to combat it. And then also a tech panel about virtual reality and how some CEOs in Silicon Valley have like this god complex. So
are you live streaming any of it, or how does it?
I don't know, but okay. I will update you guys on social media once I find out.
Cool.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
And see you at Circus Circus, everybody.
Bye bye.
No, we won't.